Welcome to the Order of Time. Today, I would like to talk to you about attachment. Attachment is a human condition which is pretty dominant, which is pretty prominent. It is always there, and it seems to rule the world even. But still, attachment is also the great weakness, preparing us the misery we see every day as well. Because of our attachments, we have difficulty sharing and finding peace. Because of this attachment, we think we are loving people, but the next day we are killing each other, because this attachment is a form of betrayal to the original consciousness, equality and quality of what people call God. In your attachment, you turn away from that equality that we need to be peaceful people, to be people capable of sharing. So attachment is a human condition, very normal, but still it is a problem we should constantly be aware of, because it ruins our very lives. It spoils all our bright hopes for the future. It makes us desperate. It makes us suicidal even, because everybody is hiding in his own attachments and nobody can be reached. In the outside world, one can be that desperate, like walking on the street and having no access to any place where people sit. Everybody is hiding his campfire, is hiding his light to shut out the rest. And suppose you are a lonely wanderer, shut out and having no access to these campfires around which all the people sit in their attachment. And each culture, each world culture, each national culture or each family culture is a form of attachment which has a lot of good in it. Don't get me wrong, I don't say everything would be bad that is experienced in attachment. But this still is the major source of false ego. There is ego, this pure I awareness, which is simply as it is what we are, as pure witnesses, as souls. We have this ego, which is reasonable, and which is of goodness, and which is human, and which is of knowledge, and which is what we cherish, and which is what we're proud of. And we take pride in this human thing. But this ego is at the same time tricking us into that falsehood of identification in which we develop this attachment. And it is a mechanism. As soon as you see the world around you, you start calling it mine. You say I to it. I am a Dutchman. I am an American. I am a native speaker. I am a doctor. I am a philosopher. I am a guru. These are all identifications which lead us astray. It is not about gurus, it is not about nations, it is about the soul that witnessing that we always share, in which we are equal to God in quality. God might be the quantity as well, and that is what you are not as an individual soul. The witness of all witnesses, that is what we call the original one, and the God, the super soul. But this individual soul of us is the peace, the core of peace that connects us and which liberates us if we serve it. But in our state of attachment, in watching the objects of our senses, we develop this attachment. We look outside and then say mine and I to it. I am this man in this house. I am this profession. I am this uniform. I am I, etc., etc., etc. This is the cause of all evil in the world. This identification of the ego with the material world, and this the false ego. And so from false ego, we experience a kind of lust, which we take for love. It is love as we would like it, with your preferred situation materially, but since you exclude other things, since it is not of the soul, which is more the comprehensive view of reality, which covers more all the places, which is more of God and that quality of sharing and knowledge, you develop in that attachment a love which is thus more lust. You lust on your national ego, you lust on your preferred material position, you lust to be a man or you lust to be a woman. It is lusting. It is not something in order in the sense of finding that equality of the witnessing soul. In the witnessing soul, you find real love because that's the love that covers it all. As soon as you point at that love and become exclusive, then you withhold that love in another respect. And in that withholding, you are doing injustice. You are violating rights of others. You are excluding others. You become that campfire which is sheltered by a brick house and nobody may enter it. It is your campfire, it is your house, and it is your privacy, and nobody may enter it. Nobody may access it. In India, they have a culture. When a saint knocks at the door, you have to receive him. And in the West, in Christianity, we also have a kind of rule. When somebody knocks at the door, it could be Jesus. This is a kind of obligation of hospitality, which reminds us of the duty to break through that false ego, through that attachment, and always be open to that other person who might be Jesus or who might be the Lord in the form of a sage or a renunciate man who simply wanders around just to preach this wisdom. It is more common in India than in the West, but this attachment of our culture is the estrangement relative to that sainthood, to that saintly affair. The saintly should be respected because the saintly is always directed at the soul. And in that soul, one finds the freedom, the consciousness, and the knowledge we all need, the true love we all need. And in the ego that is identified, in the false ego, we find this estrangement, this estrangement which is dangerous, because from that lust we have a shadow. Lust on itself is a pleasure. Yeah? You can lust this and lust that, and okay, you might not think of others for a while, but that's not directly a sin, is it? To enjoy life, you may cherish that. But the problem is that in that lust, which you derive from your attachment to your material position, from attachment to lust, you find it difficult to let go, because you turned away from that soul. You turned your looks outside. You look outside for company. You look outside for satisfaction. You don't look for the inside to find satisfaction. This looking outside is a hopeless affair, because the world is all emptiness. All you see is space and dead matter. And you can be overwhelmed by nausea, like the existentialist says. It is nauseating. It is all dull matter. And when you don't see the content, when you don't look from the inside, it is a desperate affair in which you You are simply bewildered by the manifold, and you miss the unity that is underneath it, that strings, that like pearls on a string, connects everything, like the Bhagavad Gita says. The Bhagavad Gita describes this soul as a string connecting all pearls. On a necklace you have pearls, but you don't see the string. The same way, if you look at the material world, you see houses, you see trees, you see walls, you see borderlines, you see all kinds of people walking around, but you can feel completely shut out. You can feel completely strange to it. If you can get at that connecting thread, at that soul that connects everyone as the equality that is essential. And the pearls all seem to be separate entities, but the string connecting it, that is the soul, which you can only find if you detach. And that is the reason why we in our cultures have Sundays and periods of fasting, like during the night, after which you take your break fast. You break your fasting. That's the meaning of the word breakfast. You don't fast anymore. So during the night, the refrigerator is of limits. The storeroom is of limits. You are not allowed to eat, because that is a command of the soul, not so much of the ego. It is a command of the soul. You should let go of the material world, return to your authentic self, which is not even attached to your body. In your dream life, you can have another body. You can be a dog, or you can be whatever. You can even dream that you are a woman. You can dream that you are in prison, or whatever. The dreamer can dream any situation he likes, because he's the master of his own world. You're a bad god to that world you created, usually. Not all dreams are happy. But still, the essential one is there. The soul, the witness, is there, even though the performance is not as it is in the outside world. So the thread connecting is what we have to look for if we seek liberation, if we seek this freedom on Sundays when the government tells us not to work. This is a measure of detachment. We should be detached people, because this is necessary for our mental health, but also for our material health. If you don't know where to stop because of your attachments, you run into this false ego, which is lusty, and the shadow it casts is that of aggression. If you have to let go of your lusts, you become aggressive. If you have to let go of love, the love simply ceases to be. If you deny me to speak, I am silent. Why should I be aggressive? Because what I do is make a sacrifice. And not making a sacrifice is no effort at all, and it is no pain either. But it is no love. So the difference between love and lust is that when you let go of that lust, you become aggressive, because that is the nature of attachment. You fight to keep what you have. And this is what, on a collective scale, results in warfare. The false ego of this culture opposing the false ego of that culture continues in self-denial of its own weakness until it has destroyed itself in a stupid war. So the arrogance of Christianity put before the arrogance of Islam might lead to a war which has nothing to do with the religion and God anymore, because it's just ego that fights itself to pieces. You can also say you fight until it's peace, and you fight yourself to peace. But in fact, you prove that you cannot let go of that ego, that you cannot let go of that falsehood of ego, because the ego will remain. If you let go, then you discover the true love of your ego. If you like in Islam, for instance, if you let go of veiled women, that women need to wear scarves over their hair and have to be veiled. If you let go of that, like they do in Turkey, you're still Islam. You can be very well a Muslim if you're not attached to the detachment. There was a guru in India, Ranis, who said, well, you can still be attached to the detachment. That detachment, that culture of you, in which you say, of yours, in which you say, well, we shouldn't be tempted by women. Let's feel them. Let's cover them so that we are not tempted. It's still an attachment, because the denial is the same as that what you deny, but then the opposite. You are not tempted, but you are not tested either. You never become strong in that temptation because you do not tolerate that temptation. Let the world be beautiful, but don't be a pervert. If everybody runs naked, the attraction is also gone, because much of the attraction is in the covering. In the West, they know that. Running naked is boring. In a nudist camp, well, what's the fun? You see everything, so and it's not even sexual. It's just unused flesh. And what's the lust of that? That is not interesting. The fascination arises when you cover it, when you make it a secret, when you deny it. That's how you confirm it as well. So the negative is also a confirmation of the same thing. So that is what we learn from that philosopher of India. And is right. I don't say that person is right in every way, because he has his own character. I do not agree with everybody in every way, of course. But you have to admit, if somebody speaks the truth, which is essential, and this is an essential truth concerning the attachments. Because of our attachments, we waste all our chances of a good life, of a good world, in which everybody knows its place, in which Islam is proud of being Islam, just because it covers a certain aspect of God, like the order of time, to the prayer times, to respect the sun. They're not even that well with the moon, because that's only 1 month in a year, called Ramadan. But anyhow, they are of all religions the closest to the order of time. So I'm very much obliged to Islam in defending the order of time. I like the Islam for their prayer times, but I do not like them for their fundamentalism, their Islamism. Because you shouldn't be arrogant if you do something right. If you do something right, you should be humble. You should be meek, not be arrogant and try to chastise everybody who's not that faithful. Even a demon can be on time. It is not a guarantee of virtue or piety to be precise on time with nature. Even though aligning with nature confronts you with yourself in a repetition of order, in which you should purify just to tolerate yourself. But your lack of purity shouldn't lead to a vision of enmity, in which you accuse others of the problem. Islam, knowing how to deal with God in the sense of time, is still not purified in all respects the way a yogi would be, or the way a monk would be, or the way a Sufi would be. Any Muslim very well knows that he's not a saint right away, that you're not pure, a pure soul right away. You still have ego, you still have pride, which is not always justified, which is not always correct, which is not always peaceful, which is not always honest, which is not always equal or emancipated or of the soul. For this we need saints. In Islam we speak of Sufis. The Sufi is the holy man in Islam, and he knows better. He knows the world is just a game of illusions, a game of forms which constantly change. And if you want to know the center of it, then you have to be a dervish. You have to whirl and find in the center of that whirl, just like the universe that is whirling, there you find a peace that is typical for the soul, that is typical in the midst of everything. In that trance of the spinning dervishes, you find this core, this soul, this pure witness, which is just like a centrifuge, throwing all the materialism out of it. And then you keep that pure core in which you are the witness. So the awareness of the cyclic universe as a soul is something understood by Islam and not that well by Christianity. But Christianity has other qualities which are also very important, which Islam lacks. And so each school has its own attachment to its own part of culture. But even that attachment to that religious aspect turns into an ego, identified with it, not seeing your own lust and projecting your own lack of self-criticism on others, calling them sinners and strangers and a Gentile and so forth. That is a fundamental problem which is typical for the human condition. We are weak people, missing that integrity, that unity in which we find each other back as souls and brothers and sisters to the same God, which simply has different schools. So please, let's go for the soul with the order of time and not fight each other because of different agendas, because of different calendars. This is the point I would like to make today. We are united in this witnessing, and to the order of time we should realize that there is a natural order and a cultural one. And the attachment is the foundation of lust and anger, and the detachment is the original self, which is bringing us peace and order within, so that we can tolerate the differences outside. I thank you for your attention.